Yes, amen. Appreciate the reading, Ekon. And we're going to continue our theme in just a moment. Good to see everyone who's here. We have several visitors, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say we're blessed to have Miss Betty back with us this morning, Brian and Leslie, and good to see them. But others are visiting with us, and we're glad you're here. We want to welcome you to come back at every opportunity you have, and I trust that the people here have made you feel welcome and encourage our members indeed to do that. One other announcement that I will add to Wes's announcements. I don't believe that he made it. But anyway, Miss Genevieve Fortune has been going through a lot of trouble. She's got a foot that somehow got injured. She had surgery. It did not go that well. She had to end up spending a lot of time in the hospital. Talked to her this morning for a little while. She's somewhat better, but still really suffering, and ask that you please remember her in your prayers. So I'll mention that as well. We've been talking this year about going to church. And when we talk about going to church, when we talk about, as we had this morning, as we are right now, assembled together, we've been looking at the idea of assembling, and we will continue to do that. But I'm going to veer away from strictly looking at our assembling together, and I want to talk a little bit, and for a couple of weeks anyway, I want to look at some what I'm calling challenges to assembling. Now, these are things that, as I go through different things, and there'll be a variety of them, but as I go through different things, these are things that ideas people have, attitudes people have, etc., but all of that together challenges what the Lord wants us to do as we go to church, as we assemble together. So let's begin this morning to talk about our responsibility. Our responsibility to the Lord, my responsibility to my brothers and sisters when I go to church. Now, we've been emphasizing all year, and we will continue to do this, that when we go to church, my responsibility, your responsibility, is to worship, but it is also to edify, that is, to build up each other in the faith, and it is also to encourage. The idea of inciting and stirring up and giving courage, which is what the word literally means, but to make embolden, to lift people up emotionally, that kind of thing. And we'll talk a lot about that during and throughout the rest of the year. But the idea of doing these things, and so as we begin to consider the idea of the local church, if you remember, we had a couple of lessons where we talked about that. How does that further my responsibility in those three areas? When I'm talking about, as Ekong read for us, as Paul did in Jerusalem, of joining himself to the local church at Jerusalem, previously in verse 19 in Damascus, if I join a local church, if I place membership, as we often call it, if I am a member at a church such as East Orange, how is my responsibility increased in these areas of worship and edifying and encouraging? So that's what we're talking about. And we might ask a series of simple questions. If I'm a member at East Orange, should I really endeavor, put forth a lot of effort is the idea, to support that local work? In other words, it's more than just going in the sense of attending or being here this morning. That's important. And we need to be here. But should I really support the local work? Let me ask it like this. Should I personally participate in the local work? And do I ask myself that question? How much do I participate in the work that goes on, the local work here at East Orange that goes on throughout the week, every week, really all the time in one sense or another? I might also ask this question, and we will explore this further, but should I be what I'll call identified? In the latter part of the year, we're going to talk about literally that, and we'll look at a lot of things that have to do with that. But let's just keep it simple this morning. Should I be identified? Should I be known as a member at East Orange? You know, people often ask the question, where do you go to church? Or do you go to church? And if you say yes, where do you go? Should it be that my life expresses such that I'm identified? People know me when they think of Michael White. They think of Michael White at East Orange. That's the idea of being identified with a local work. Let's explore those things further as we talk about a great challenge, though, to accomplishing what the Lord has planned for a local church. And that's this modern phenomenon, and it really is a modern thing. We don't look back through history at any time that I know of, I never have found it, and see this being the case, but it is today. And it's what's come to be called, there are a couple of terms that people use for it, but I'm going to explain it. And it's the idea of being, quote unquote, members at large. Sometimes people will describe it. Now that's not a biblical term, because the idea is really not a biblical idea. Or sometimes, and I don't really particularly like this phrase, but it's used so much I want to make you aware of it, maverick members. And this comes from the idea of, you know, that out west and well, for that matter, even on the East Coast, some of you may be aware when we go to Ocean City and up and down the coast, as we like to go, there are herds of wild horses. I didn't know that really until I moved up here. But just like out west, there are herds of wild horses, and they're mavericks because they, you know, go wherever they want to go. They don't belong to anybody. They are wild in that sense. They move around as they will, etc. And so you begin to get the idea of what people mean by members at large are maverick members. They're not really localized. They're not doing as Paul did in Acts 9, where when he went to the city of Damascus, he joined with the disciples at Damascus. When he went to Jerusalem, he, verse 26, assayed to join himself to the church at Jerusalem. He was with them, as Ekong read, going in and coming out with the church there. They're not really doing that. They're members of the church, and I'm not going to go back through it, but remember how we talked about God automatically places you, puts you into the body of Christ when you are baptized, when you obey the gospel. You're a member of the church of Christ. But that doesn't mean you're a member at any local church. It doesn't mean that you have joined with a local church. And some members have the idea that really that's not necessary. That I'm a member of the church and I just kind of, like a maverick horse or a wild horse, I just kind of move around and go from place to place, etc. And so there is this idea of members who do not, as we call it, place membership, and it doesn't matter to me if you want to call it placing membership, joining with, however you want to phrase it, but you understand the biblical idea. And we're going to explore that in the book of 1 Corinthians, not this morning, but we're going to really explore that in the book of 1 Corinthians. But it's the idea of members who do not place membership in a local church, or who place membership, someone may, you know, let Wes or me know, come down to the front, etc., but identify with us and say, I want to place membership, I want to be a member here at East Orange, that kind of thing. But they don't regularly attend. At least they don't regularly attend one congregation. Now, I'm not talking about the exception. You know, we all, or most of us do, we take vacations, we're gone a week or two. Sometimes work keeps us away for a week. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the idea of a person who may or may not have placed membership at a congregation, but really doesn't regularly attend that congregation. In other words, they, like a maverick, and that's why the term is used, like members at large, they just kind of roam around. They move from place to place. They attend sporadically from place to place. They might be here this morning. They might be at another church next week. They might for a couple of weeks go somewhere else. They might be back then. We never really know when someone is going to be here, when they're not going to be here, etc. And you get that idea. That's the idea of being a member at large. Now, sometimes it is said, and I want you to listen carefully, please, very carefully to how I'm going to say this. Because sometimes it is said, you know, you can worship the Lord at any church. Wherever scriptural worship is practiced, you can worship the Lord. You don't have to be a member at East Orange. You don't have to be here to worship the Lord. And that's why we go to church. Now, I want you to hear something. That's right. you can. But something you have to understand is that worship, as we will explore it further, and we will really dig into the idea of what we do when we worship together. Worship is very interpersonal. Worship is not just something that I do to or with God. It is something that I do, if you notice, go back up to the top box that I have here, or frame that I have here. My responsibility to my Lord and to my brothers and sisters. Let me give you a quick example. This is because we'll dig into this a lot further. But look, for example, at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Yes, I sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to my Lord. But I also teach and admonish. Those are very strong terms. I teach and admonish my brothers and sisters, and they meet. So the idea is, it's very interpersonal. We're all connected when we do this. We will find that each act of worship really involves every one of us. Now, that doesn't mean I can't sing at home. It doesn't mean I can't pray at home, etc. But when we are assembling together, we do these acts of worship to God, but also with, very strongly so, one another. So it's very interpersonal. And as we begin to think in terms of the edifying, the building up of one another in the faith, that involves my roles and my contribution. I don't mean just the money, but what I can contribute toward all of us being built up in the faith and what you can contribute to it. It means taking part. As we begin to look at those various phrases, and we'll look at a couple of passages here in a moment. But I have to be involved somewhere to do those things. In fact, if I talk about encouraging, I know that it is when we go on vacation, for example, if we go to Alabama, if we go to Ocean City, Maryland, where these different places we like to go on vacation, I know it's encouraging to those people, and it's encouraging to me for us to be together. But I want you to hear this, it's not the same. Because I don't know some of those people where I go on vacation. I don't know them as intimately as I know some of you. Even this very morning in talking to Miss Geneva and Miss Genevieve, I know them well. Miss Geneva I've known for over 15 years. I understand her relationship she had with her mother. I understand how close that is. And therefore, I'm able, and you are able, when someone passes away like that, and you know the relationship they have, there's encouragement you can offer them that someone who doesn't know them could not. That's the idea. If I'm going to join myself to a group of people, I need to be involved in the worship, in the edifying, in the encouraging that God planned for us as we were members together somewhere in a local church. And we're going to really look at that idea for a few weeks here. So in Hebrews chapter 10, and this would be our theme passage for the year, as we draw close together in full assurance of faith, and we promote that with each other, as we consider one another, verse 24, to provoke or incite, stir up, etc., love and good works, as we are not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the habit of some is, as we're not doing that, but we're encouraging or exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. As we do that, let's talk about some responsibilities. We should support the local work. In fact, a member of the local church supports the work of that church. Even if I go away on vacation, in many ways, I'm still supporting the work at East Orange. I may visit another church when I'm away from here, but my membership is here. My responsibility is here. And I need to be physically involved as well as contributing. And here I am talking about money as well as other things, contributing regularly into his treasure. I want you to look up here at this board to my right. I don't often make reference to this board, either the attendance or the contribution, but I want you to look at it this morning. And you will notice that on this board, one of the lines on it is a budget. We have a meeting once a year. Kenny is the treasurer. And he brings us a report and we talk about how much money is coming in and how much money is going out and all the various works that we are doing here. And that line, that budget line there and the amount of money is what it will take this year for us to accomplish all those things we budget. All those things that include the building here and Wes and I preaching here and the maintenance and the helping the brethren who need it and all of those things. And it requires that I contribute regularly to that. In fact, as we look in the New Testament, what we come to understand is we are together at East Orange, a word that is used as stewards. Now that means a servant. But it was a servant who had responsibility. Now, the Bible calls us stewards together. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians, it refers to that. It refers to the idea of Christians of being fellow stewards who manage. And they take care of what belongs to their Lord, their Master. That's what we do as a member at a local church. And that involves a lot. If I begin to think about my responsibility somewhere, it's important that I lay my money in the basket when it comes around. But it's also important that I take part. And so we look at a number of passages. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 11 and consider something for a moment. We've made reference to the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11. And remember, Barnabas was preaching there, and as the work grew, he went and got Paul. He's called Saul at this time still. But he went and got Paul. He brought him there to help out and all of that. They were called Christians, verse 26. And beginning in verse 27, there were some prophets who came from Jerusalem to Antioch. And read this together with me, beginning in verse 28. There stood up one of these prophets named Agabus. And he signified by the Spirit that there was going to be a great dearth or famine throughout all the world, all that part of the world. And it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. This would be in the 40s A.D. And then the disciples. Now I want you to notice what verse 29 says. Here is the church at Antioch being told of a need that's coming. Then the disciples. Notice this. Every man, everyone according to his ability, determined. Do you hear that? Do you hear the idea of managing a situation? Of taking care of a situation. Of being personally involved in a situation. The idea of being a member at Antioch and what we are going to do at Antioch. Every single one of them got involved personally. They determined to send unto the disciples that dwelt at Judea, which also, verse 30, they did. All these members of the church. And sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. What's interesting is you see this personal involvement. Yes, Proverbs 3 and verse 9. We need to honor God with our substance, with what we have. If we have money, if we have goods, if we have talents, if we have abilities, we need to honor God with that. But when we are a member at a local church, we need to be personally involved in contributing all of that toward the work of that church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verses 1 and 2, Corey made reference to this when we were giving. Here is the idea of Paul going around and taking up collections and so forth. But in order to do that, if someone comes here and says there's this need similar to what goes on here in Acts 11, and they need help, and we can give help like they did in Acts 11, that's going to mean that we would have been collecting money as we do each week, putting it into a treasury, which you see in verse 2, that laying by in store. We'll talk more about that. But that idea of contributing regularly into a treasury so that there is the ability, again, look at the budget line up here, the ability to do the work that needs to be done. And so we see the idea in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19 of a church where every member is like a band or a joint or a ligament in the body, and it's all connected together as one body doing the work of God. So let me summarize it. I need to have knowledge of the work of the church. And I would say it simply to you like this. If you don't know what we do here, if you're a member at East Orange and you're not sure what we do here, ask. You need to know what we do here. And you need to be part of that, part of the church. Support what we're doing here at East Orange. Let me take that further. Members participate in the local work. A member of the local church is responsible, yes, to attend the services of the church, to worship the Lord, to study the Word together with his brothers and sisters. But doesn't it go beyond just doing that? Each member is personally involved in the edification, the building up of the church in the faith. Some people have a very selfish idea. Let me go somewhere to church where I can be edified. Now that's important. But what I need to be saying is, let me go somewhere where I can be built up and where I can build others up in the faith. That's the idea of edification. So we see that. You know, Jesus in Matthew 25, when he went away, he's describing himself in a parable here, like a man going away into a far country. And he takes everything he has, and that would be that Jesus has, and he distributes it to all his servants. Again, that idea of stewardship. And they take responsibility according to their ability. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. So I ask myself, what can I do? What talents, what abilities do I have? What can I do toward contributing to the edification of the church? We're going to look at passages like Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12, and again in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at these passages and talk about the personal contribution we can make. How I can take an active part. What has Jesus given to me that I can give toward the work of the church? So let me summarize. I'll use the term materially participate. Because you understand that what that means is, it's hands-on. It's me rolling up my sleeves, as it were. It's me getting involved. Not me sitting back and looking at the church and saying, what is East Orange doing? But going further and saying, what is East Orange doing? And let me be part of that. That's the idea. And so, materially participating in the services. And that can be singing with vigor rather than just going through the motions. But it can also be being involved in the classes, being involved even in the sermon. Are we listening? Are you checking out to make sure I'm saying the right thing here? You know, what are we doing at East Orange? That's the idea. And what can I contribute toward building East Orange up? Man, the more people that get involved in any local church, geometrically, the more work gets done somewhere. It's amazing as a few people just get fired up about doing something at a place, the change that it makes in a congregation. East Orange has so much potential. As you travel around this country, Montel and I were talking about this the other night. This church has, I have never been part of a church that had as much potential as this one does. To start with, look around you and look at the diversity we have here. I don't know of another church anywhere that has it. Which means we can reach people and we have things in common with so many different people. Not only that, these children. Yeah, sometimes they cry and it's a little distracting. That's great, man. I wouldn't trade that for anything. This church is abounding with potential in the future. Where so many churches are worried because there are no children and there are no young people. And what are we going, where is this church going to be in 20 years? This church has the potential to be so much greater 20 years from now. But it's going to require that those of us that are older put forth the effort we all can. This is the idea of us giving what we can give, contributing toward building it up. And finally, I'll say this. Members are identified with the local work. A Christian places membership. That's what Paul is doing in Acts 9. He's placing membership. We're going to explore that in 1 Corinthians. And I think we begin to see what it means to be a member of a local church. And we really see it in 1 Corinthians. In fact, I'd like for you to start reading, some of you that like to do this. Circle 1 Corinthians 11 through 14, those chapters, and read that and really meditate on the things that are being said there. Members place membership with a local church. They join with them. So, for example, the local church at East Orange becomes my church, as we've talked about, or my home church, that idea, and I'm identified with it. Early Christians were members at some local work. And I want you to understand something. The New Testament identifies these people as members somewhere. When we begin to look at passages in the New Testament, and these aren't all of them, but Paul wrote to the saints at Ephesus. Or in Colossians 1 and verse 2, they were the saints in Colossae. Or in 1 Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians 1, Romans 1, they were the saints at this local church. They were members of a local church, just like Paul had done in Acts 9. They had placed membership, and God had placed them there. I need to join a local church. If you're here this morning and you're not a member at East Orange, that's all right. We're glad you're here. But if you're a member of the Lord's church and you've not placed membership somewhere, you need to do that. Now, whether it's here or whether it is at another church where you can worship God in spirit and in truth, you need to be a member at a local church. That's what God wants. That's what the Lord designed so that you can practice and be part of what the Lord wants for this local church or the one you choose to be a member of. The Lord means for us to be actively involved like this. And that's what we're going to be exploring. So we go back. We're looking at challenges to what the Lord has planned for a local church. What happened? How did we come to where we are with these members at large, these maverick members as they're sometimes called? I think there are a couple of things that contributed to that. The ease of travel. You know, if you think back and go back 100 years and before, people couldn't travel around that easily. I was thinking last night, I had a great-grandmother, and Montel is well aware of her, and she knows what I'm talking about, but I had a great-grandmother who lived to be 103 and a half years old. Now, my great-grandmother died in 1988. Now, I want you to understand something. In the 1880s, she moved in a covered wagon to Alabama. She was a young child, and they moved from North Carolina to Alabama in the 1880s. She moved by covered wagon and lived to see several launches of the space shuttle. Can you imagine that? Well, what I'm saying is, go back to those covered wagon days, etc. There wasn't the ease of travel we have today. You can't jump in a car. You couldn't jump in a car in the 1880s and drive 50 or 60 miles and be, attend services on a regular basis. The ease of travel, though, it's wonderful. But it's bred this idea of, I can go wherever I want to go. I can jump in a plane, get in a car, jump on a train, whatever it might be, and I virtually can go, I literally can go anywhere in the world I want to go. That was not the case 100 years ago. But it's also the abundance of congregations, isn't it? Within traveling distance. And so, I can get up on a Sunday morning, and I can say, where do I want to go to church today? And really, literally here, if I wanted to go to a church like this one and do what we're going to do this morning, I could get up on Sunday morning and easily drive to a half dozen congregations, if not a dozen, with no problem at all. That was not the case 100 years ago. I've got a diary that a young girl kept for years about the church where I used to preach down in Alabama. And she talks about how they had to plan to be at church on Sunday. And they had to watch the weather. And they had to know, you know, man, we may have to cross that stream in our wagon, and I'm not sure we can get across to go to church. We don't live with that. But it's bred this idea of I can go wherever I want to go, and I don't have to have as much responsibility or accountability. Let me just choose where I want to go this morning. And so this idea of members who are really not members anywhere. They just attend here and they attend there. They might attend, they might not attend. No accountability, no responsibility, no really being part of the work at some local place. That's not what the Lord planned for the church. And I think we're going to see that more and more. So we ask the question this morning, why do we assemble with a local church? The New Testament gives us three major reasons. We've already stated them this morning. To worship. To worship the Lord and worship together with our brothers and sisters. To edify, to build up each other in the faith. To encourage, to lift each other, provoke each other, stir each other up. Have we accomplished that today? And have we done it as fully as the Lord wanted us to do it as we came together, as we go to church? If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you'll confess that, you're willing to repent, to change your life, to be baptized for forgiveness of your sins, which will automatically put you into the Lord's body, into the church. Maybe you're here this morning, though, and you've done that, and you say, I hear you, and I need to be accountable, I need to be responsible, I need to be part of a local church. It might be that you've not placed membership here at East Orange. We'd love for you to do that. It might be that you have, and yet you're encouraged to be even more a part, to do what you can do, give what you can give toward the work here. We would certainly encourage you to do that. If you need to come, please come while we stand and sing.